say it is.
Hey, Your Worship, we're now recording for the October 2nd, 2018, Portal Cove St. Phillips Council meeting.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for coming, everyone. We've called the meeting to order. And with us this evening, we have Councilor Neary, Councilor Bartlett, Councilor Harding, Town Manager Chris Millie, Councilor Hanlon, Councilor Stuart Sharp, Deputy Mayor Laham, Claudine Murray, Deputy Town Clerk, Tony Pollard, Les Burrell, Nicole Clark, and Charlie Hamlin. Thank you very much. Can we have the adoption of the agenda? So moved by Councilor Neary, seconded by Councilor Bartlett. All in favor?
Aye. Before we do that, in the Planning and Development Report, we have to make an amendment. Item number 3, civic number 337 to 387 needs to be amended to 377 to 387. That's really loud.
So noted. Yeah, it is.
Okay, I'll fix that.
It's echoing back.
Still in.
Okay. Okay, so all in favor of that change?
There's also a change to the recreation report, the attachment that the recreation had, a list of dates there. It's all on your counselor's desk. One of the dates had changed, so that will be reflected in the package.
Okay.
Amend the package.
Anything further? All in favor?
No. Just kidding.
Aye.
Okay. How'd you mind it carried? We have a few delegations this evening, proclamations. So, first of all, I'm going to welcome, everyone, but particularly a new voter by the name of Charlotte Murphy. And Charlotte is one of our babies, newer babies, I guess. And we have a proclamation for World Breastfeeding Week. And it's from October 1st to October 7th. So if you want to bring the baby up, we can read the proclamation and let's put her on display. Okay, while you're getting your pictures taken there by the sign, I'll read the proclamation. Whereas breastfeeding is recommended for optimal nutrition and healthy growth and development in the early months and years of life, and is fundamental to the well-being and prosperity of communities. And whereas breastfeeding has an impact on lifelong health, with exclusive breastfeeding for the first 6 months, and continued breastfeeding for 2 years and beyond, ensuring that mothers and children receive maximum health benefits. And whereas breastfeeding is one of the most cost-effective prevention strategies for many infections and chronic and acute diseases. And whereas infant feeding is one of the most important decisions that a new family makes. And whereas parents need the support of family, friends, regional health authorities, peer-to-peer support groups, municipalities, community groups and organizations, businesses and employers. And whereas World Breastfeeding Week provides an opportunity for people to come together to celebrate and to raise public awareness about the importance of breastfeeding and the role everyone can play in normalizing breastfeeding. And whereas the theme for World Breastfeeding Week 2018 in Newfoundland and Labrador is Breastfeeding, the Foundation of Life. We are seeing more and more parents in our province choosing to breastfeed their babies. With the support of partners, friends, family, health care providers, and communities, we hope to return Newfoundland and Labrador to a breastfeeding-friendly culture where breastfeeding is recognized as the normal way to feed infants and young children. Therefore, I, Carol McDonald, Mayor of Portage Cove St. Phillips, proclaim October 1st to the 7th, 2018, World Breastfeeding Week in Newfoundland and Labrador.
Next to the mayor, we'll do the sign.
Okay. You gotta look up, Carol.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Everybody's allowed on it. There should be council vote on that.
Thank you very much. I don't know if there's anybody here from the National Seniors Committee or whatever. If they are, they can come forward. This week, or yesterday, I guess, October 1st, was National Seniors Day. So I read the proclamation. I was obviously supposed to sign this yesterday, but my daughter had a different idea of me to do, so I spent my day at St. Clair's. Anyway, I'll read the proclamation for National Seniors Day, October 1st, 2018. Whereas October 1st, communities across Canada will join together to recognize National Seniors Day, and seniors in the town of Portugal Cove St. Phillips are present in all aspects of our lives. They are our parents, our grandparents, our teachers, our volunteers, our mentors, our neighbors, and our co-workers. And whereas National Seniors Day focuses on celebrating and recognizing the contributions made by seniors to better their communities, families, and workplaces. And whereas every day, seniors right here in the town of Portugal Cove St. Phillips make a big difference, and we value what they are doing, what we are doing. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Mayor Carol McDonald of Town Portugal Cove St. Phillips, do hereby proclaim October 1st, 2018 to be observed as National Seniors Day, and I urge my fellow citizens to recognize the crucial role played by older Canadians in our community. That don't have to stop yesterday. Every day is Seniors Day. Right, Margaret?
Yes.
Look up, man.
There.
I can't do two things at one time. Can't multitask. Thank you. And we have one more. And this happens to be our fire department. So if our co-chair, Fred Hollett, and Terry Scott and Kirk Murley would mind coming up with me. Because I love men in uniforms. And I read the proclamation. Whereas the town of Portugal St. Phillips is committed to ensuring the safety and security of all those living in and visiting our town, and whereas fire is a serious public safety concern both locally and nationally, and homes are the locations where people are at greatest risk from fire, and whereas home fires killed thousands of people in the United States and Canada in recent years, according to the National Fire Prevention Association, and fire departments in the United States and Canada responded to thousands of home fires. And whereas the majority of fire deaths, 4 out of 5, occur at home each year, and whereas Portugal St. Phillips residents should identify places in their home where fires can start and eliminate those hazards, whereas working smoke alarms cut the risk of dying in reported home fires in half, whereas Portugal Cove St. Phillips residents should install smoke alarms in every sleeping room, outside each separate sleeping area, and on every level of the home, and whereas Portugal Cove St. Phillips residents should listen for the sound of the smoke alarm, and when it sounds, respond by going outside immediately to the designated meeting place, whereas Portugal Cove St. Phillips residents who have planned and practiced a home fire escape plan are more prepared and will therefore be more likely to survive a fire. Whereas Portugal Cove St. Phillips residents are responsive to public education measures and are able to take action to increase their safety from fire, especially in their homes. And whereas 2018 Fire Prevention Week theme, Look, Listen, Learn. Beware, fire can happen anywhere, effectively serves to remind us that we need to take personal steps to increase our safety from fire. Therefore, I, Carol McDonald, Mayor Portia Coulson Phillips, do hereby proclaim October 7th to the 13th, 2018, as Fire Prevention Week throughout the town. And I urge all the people of Portia Coulson Phillips to be aware of their surroundings. Look for available ways out in the event of a fire or other emergency. Respond when the smoke alarm sounds by exiting the building immediately, and to participate in and support the many public activities and efforts in Portia Coulson Phillips Volunteer Fire Department during Fire Prevention Week 2018.
I've always moved together.
That's what's going to happen. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. Ladies and gentlemen, with the advent of Fire Prevention Week on Sunday coming, October 7th, I thought it prudent to give you a real fast overview of what's happening. We have a variety of activities happening in the community. We are going to be organizing and doing a thing, an awareness and training piece with all town staff this year. On October the 10th, we are attending at Beachy Cove Elementary to deal with the grade 2s and grade 4s for at least half a day in fire prevention presentations, education and awareness. On October the 11th, we're going to be down at Brookside Intermediate doing the same thing with the grade 8s. On October the 12th, we're having a fire chief for the day contest at Beachy Cove Elementary, and the students will be given a task to bring back, and there'll be some draws, and we're going to be doing a pizza party with the chief's class that particular day, the fire chief for the day. On October the 13th, we'll be doing an emergency response parade starting at Boise Brook and ending here at Rainbow Gully, and we will have an open house here at Thornton Road at, following that. We'll have a variety of things that will be happening at the station, and again, the getting around the equipment with children in particular is quite popular. And last year, the fire extinguisher demonstration that was done just out here with the public went over very well. We're going to try that again this year. So that's just what's in the queue for now. The theme for Fire Prevention Week, as indicated by the mayor, is Look, Listen, Learn. Be aware, fire can happen anywhere, and happy to provide you with a pamphlet. And I know all mayor, yourself, and all council will be quite studious and study this one tonight.
Of course.
And of course, we encourage the public to do so as well. Interestingly enough, and in the proclamation, there was a comment on the benefit of smoke alarms in a home. And just today, we had three runs today. We had a residential alarm at 9 o'clock this morning. And around 2:30 today, we had a phone call come into the office. And myself and Co-Chief Murphy listened to it. And we went to that location with a gas detector and our thermal imager. The lady was detecting an odor. We didn't detect any odors in the home. And we checked everything with the gas detector and the thermal imager. But we did ask her, where was your smoke alarm? And because we looked when we went in, and well, she said, I don't like that, and I took it down. And we spoke to her from the perspective that that wasn't a good idea. Well, she said, I was cooking and it went off, and I just took it down and put it away. So the screws were still in the ceiling, and we found it, and we put it back up only to find out that the batteries were dead. And We went to the station and got a battery and took it back to her, put it in the smoke alarm, and it's in the home working tonight. In the midst of all of that, we were dispatched to a carbon monoxide alarms situation at another residence. We went there, and again, it was a case of a device which was, the batteries were dead, and we checked the home, it was all clear, and Captain Hibbs went and got a couple of batteries and went back and put that device back into service. We're hoping, the case of the individual who took down the smoke alarm, we're hoping today that she saw, listened, and learned about the importance of smoke alarms in the home. And in this day and age, to think that people reside at home without a working smoke alarm is, we struggle with that one, and we wouldn't leave that situation today until it was corrected. So it was a couple of examples of the need to continue education, to increase public awareness and action to make your homes fire safe. And that's what this pamphlet is all about, and we're hoping that all of you here this evening will have a read, and when you go home, look, listen, learn, be aware, fire can happen anywhere. Home fire inspections are pretty easy. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor. On behalf of Lieutenant Scott and Firefighter Murley and the rest of the fire department, thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, everyone. One person that I did overlook in the proclamations was our nurse, Janet Fox Bear, is with us this evening. So welcome, Jen, and thank you for coming. Okay. We have the adoption of the minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Councillor Bartlett. Seconder. Seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any discussion?
I have one, Your Worship. The in the Recreation Department's report, the community grants motions are there, but one of the motions that were made had to be amended last time at the meeting. And I noticed that the amendment is there, but the original motion is not there. So two reasons, one to point that out. The second one is, who decides what goes in the minutes? Because if something is there that we don't get, we have audio minutes and we have written minutes. Audio minutes are held for 6 months.
6 months.
Right? The written minutes last forever. Mm-hmm. The audio minutes, in this particular case, would reflect that a motion was made and had to be amended, whereas the written minutes only make the motion. So I'm just wondering about that, because if we're going to have minutes, they need to be accurate. Mm-hmm. I just noticed that when I got in.
Was the town clerk responsible for the...
I'll answer that.
Yeah,
ultimately, yes.
I was just going to respond to that because Tony was a little bit inquired, but I was going to say that, yeah, ultimately the town clerk is responsible, but what we send out to everybody is to make sure that we, you know, that any errors get corrected, such as this one, and the whole point of this adoption of the minutes and the review of council's reviewing the minutes ahead of time is to make sure that they are accurate and reflective of the actual council meeting, but the written minutes are the official documents of, and once they get adopted now at this step of the council meeting, then they are the official minutes that.
Okay.
So with then basically what that means is that this adoption of the minutes right now needs to make record now that there needs to be a correction to accurately reflect the change that was done before.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, normally, like the town manager said, we would pick up this on our information package when we get it early, but there was some difficulty getting it out on time. I printed mine up this afternoon at whatever time Claudine sent it, so I never had time to let you know ahead of time.
Okay, sorry, what was the correction, the $200, or?
Yep, I just have it, 2 seconds. The community grants for Ursula.
Should have been 100 instead of 150.
150 to 100.
Yeah.
The original motion was for 150, and the amendment.
The amendment was for $100.
Okay, and the minutes are, well.
Disney needs to record that that was amendment, that was corrected during the process, so that was just making.
During the discussion.
Okay, will do.
Okay.
It wasn't a voted on amendment, it was basically a friendly amendment.
It was a friendly amendment.
Okay, anything further? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, undivided, carried. Okay, we have our town manager's report.
No, we do not, sorry, but Mayor, I've got from that meeting was beforehand and preparation of some materials for one of the counselors beforehand. I never got a chance to finish it off.
Thank you. Okay, our committee reports, Planning and Development Committee, Counselor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. The Planning and Development Committee met on September 25th, 2018. In attendance were yours truly, Darrell Harding, Counselor and Chair, Jeff Laham, Deputy Mayor for items 1 to 7, 10 to 20, and 22, Counselor Johnny Hanlon, Mayor McDonald, Chris Millie, Town Manager for items 1 to 20 and 22, Liz Burrow, Planning and Development Coordinator, Holly Duffett, Planning and Technologist, and a developer for item 22. Item number 1, Civic number 2830, Balda Place, single dwelling. Motion reads as follows, the committee recommends that the application to construct a single dwelling at Civic number 2830, Balda Place, be granted approval in principle as per appendix A of the table report, and that's so moved.
Second.
Seconded by Deputy Mayor Laham. Any questions, concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, undivided, carried.
Item number 2, Civic number 1 to 3, Lambswood Lane, subdivide property and construct a single dwelling. Motion reads as follows, the committee recommends that the application to subdivide property and construct a single dwelling at Civic number 1 to 3, Lambswood Lane, be granted approval in principle as per appendix A of the table report, and that's so moved.
Seconded by Counselor Hanlon. Any questions, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, undivided, carried.
Item number 3, which with the amendment will read Civic number 377 to 387 Old Broad Cove Road, accessory building. The committee recommends that the application for an accessory building at Civic number 377 to 387 Old Broad Cove Road be granted approval in principle as per appendix A of the table report, and that's so moved.
Seconded by Counselor Bartlett. Any discussion, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Carried.
Item number 4, Civic number 12, Ron's Road, demolition and construct accessory building. The committee recommends that the application to demolish and construct an accessory building at Civic number 12, Ron's Road, be granted approval in principle as per appendix A of the table report, and that's so moved.
Seconded.
Seconded.
Seconded by Counselor Bartlett. Questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, undivided, carried.
Item number 5, Civic number 7 to 17, Lee's Place, patio deck. Committee recommends that the application to demolish and reconstruct of a patio deck at Civic 7 to 17, Lee's Place, be granted approval in principle as per appendix A of the table report, and that's so moved.
Seconded by Deputy Mayor Laham. Any questions, concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, undivided, carried.
Item number 6.
Excuse me, did you put up your hand that time, or were you?
I did, sorry.
Okay, I didn't see it.
Sorry, thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 6, Civic number 1910 to 1914, Portugal Cove Road, request for municipal approval. Planning Department is in receipt of correspondence from the business owner at Civic number 1910 to 1914, Portugal Cove Road, with a request for municipal approval to transfer the existing liquor license from the Angry Urchin to 6462454 NL Inc., operating as the Wild Horses Pub and Eatery.
And the motion reads as follows. The committee recommends that the council forward correspondence to the business owner advising the town has no objection to transfer the continuation of existing liquor license for Civic Number 1910 to 1914 Portugal Cove Road. And that's all moved.
Seconder. Seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any discussion? Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Contrary-minded? Carried.
Item number seven, and before I move to item number seven, we have preamble information here. This information is mostly for the general public, who I believe are confused about the system of how this process is working, as well as most of the country. I guess there's some confusion because it's the first time that it's is being done. But to clarify for everybody, we figured it was best to read it into the public record, because not everybody gets a chance to go out to a council meeting or go to a public meeting. There are three town approvals required for a business to operate as a dispensary of cannabis in Canada. I will list them out and explain the process, including where we are in the process. The first step is a development permit. The development permit to alter the building was issued. This permit did not require council decision or public notice. An occupancy permit can be issued against this development permit once the work has been validated by inspection by all the different authorities, including Public Works. Step number two is a business permit. A business permit for a retail business has been established. A notice for this business was advertised in the newspapers in accordance with the plan policy. Council approved the business in principle. An approval in principle was issued in accordance with council approval. All conditions were met prior to the issuance of a business permit. The permit requires the proponent to have an occupancy permit before the business occupies or operates from the location. The town requires favorable inspection of the site, as well as a host of other things, before an occupancy permit can be granted. Not the town, but Service NL requires final inspection before an occupancy permit can be issued. Step number three, approval to grant a license. The town doesn't grant a cannabis license. That's done through Cannabis NL, done through the Liquor Corporation. Approval to grant the license is scheduled to go before council tonight. Cannabis NL will not issue a license without any municipality's approval. Cannabis NL publicly advertised this license in accordance with their licensing requirement, because they are the licensing body. Cannabis NL will not issue a license until all authorities have approved all aspects of the business and the building process. This means they need to see final acceptance by Service NL, the town, and anyone else with authority. This presumably includes having a valid occupancy permit. In this case, all steps have been followed and advertised as required. There is no reason why council cannot make a decision on the license approval tonight. The town even sought public interest for a cannabis-related public meeting in our July-August edition of our newsletter. The meeting was to answer any public questions or concerns about the legalization and implementation of a cannabis license. We also gave the province's contact information for anybody wanting to contact and provide input on legalization or our community. We did not receive any responses to this engagement initiative. What's next if the license is given municipal approval? The proponent will have to finish his work required in the development and business permits. The work, the permit conditions, and approval requirements will have to be validated in appropriate ways. For example, building codes, electrical codes, plumber's codes, sign-offs, fire department inspections, public works inspections for finished driveway access, Service Newfoundland inspections for accessibility, and others. This is often called final approval. All the final approvals will be used to issue an occupancy permit. The occupancy permit will allow the business to operate as a retail location. All final approvals need to be sent to Cannabis NL by the proponent, not us as the town. And once Cannabis NL has all the paperwork and is satisfied, they and they alone issue a license to sell cannabis for this or any other location in Canada, or excuse me, Newfoundland. Having said that and having read it into the public record, so it clears up any confusion that might have been out there about the process and about the role that the town was responsible for. Motion reads as follows. The committee recommends that council forward correspondence to the business owner advising that the town has no objection to the issuance of a license to establish a cannabis retailer at Civic Number 614 to 616 Portugal Cove Road. So moved.
Seconded by Deputy Mayor Lamb. Any discussion? Questions? Yes, Councilor Hanlon.
I'll start.
Okay.
Personally, and this is just my personal view on all of what's going on to date, I think that I don't agree with the site to start off with, just to let everybody know. The particular site, I got no issue with the cannabis side of things whatsoever, but the business permit or the permit to develop or change that particular site has been issued for some time now. And from driving up and down the road looking at this particular site for the better part of a year, we've known it's going to be there. I haven't seen a whole lot being done to the site to make it more appealing to what it's going to be addressing and a public service that's going to be legal in, you know, 2 or 3 weeks' time. It looks exactly like it did 10 years ago, a house in the back of a meadow with a very small driveway and nothing else really done to it other than we can see some bars on the windows. I'm not sure if the applicant, you know, was delaying or waiting to do all this work in the last week before this becomes legal to sell or not, but it doesn't appeal to a frontline kind of store or frontline business that should be on the roadways or whatever. It seems like right now we're down to the last 2 weeks before this comes out. Whether we feel pressure or not, that's kind of irrelevant now because the place is in the condition it's in. There was plenty of time to have it ready to go for 2 weeks' time. I kind of wonder that if that's the planning prior to, how is it going to operate after the fact with regards to neat, tidy things being brought up to code, all this kind of stuff. It really puts questions in my mind as to, you know, up to date, there seemed to be a lot of confusion, miscommunication, who should be approving, all this stuff. We finally, I think, clarified a lot of this stuff tonight. But it's the questions that I have and my observations are, you know, if someone was trying to put a business forward that was going to be the first in Canada, you should have been having it displayed by now as an operating site ready to roll and not at the last 11th hour trying to rush around and finish out the place. So, I don't personally feel with the way that it is set up right now and where it's to, that it's the appropriate location. I have no issue with the sale of cannabis in the community. It is a legal thing to happen anywhere in Canada as of that date, but that particular location, I just am not in favor of.
Anybody further?
I'd like to just make comment as well, Mayor. I do have the same sentiments as Councilor Hanlon relative to the concept of the selling of cannabis. I don't have any issue with that. It is what it is. It's a legalized thing, and I'm being very mindful of trying to, in my decision and in all of our discussion, in trying to keep my personal thoughts and my judgment and stereotype, I guess, on the other side of things, because I think it's our responsibility or my responsibility in this chair to vote based on what it is with the information that we have before us relative to the regulations, relative to whatever it was that was required by the proponent in question. So I just wanted it to be known that myself personally, I've seen the petition, I've seen the questions and the concerns that have come forward from the residents in the area. I I'm not a fan of the location either. However, when I look at everything else in the community, I look at where our alcohol is being sold and residences around there and how they maybe had to go through this whole same process at the time. I look at the other businesses that are already there in that area as well, so it is a business area. There are businesses on Drover Heights in particular, as well as the neighboring property across from where this said store is at this point. There's some question that's come forward about the walkability and pedestrian safety. I did look at that very closely as I'm making my decision, and I think I'm a little confused by those concerns, because if you turn in off of Portugal Cove Road onto Drover Heights, this in question is the very first property on the left-hand side. So I don't see where that is going to be an issue as far as safety in that part of the community, as far as cars driving around in that area. I mean, if it was a property up at the far end, then certainly that would be in question. But so I just wanted to address that from my end of things. I'm not sure that I see where there's a public safety concern as far as the location and the pedestrian safety piece. But again, I based on the regulations, I understand that everything has been met up until now, and I think that's probably where I'll be moving my vote towards as a result of knowing from an ethical perspective what it is that the proponent's been required to do.
Thank you. Anybody further?
I'd just like to state that, as you all know, the proponent has acquired the business application, and I'm not sure if everyone is aware, but I do believe that when he applied for the application, it went through council unanimously, so if there were any issues with the site, probably should have been brought up then. As far as this application, this has nothing to do with the business application itself. It's about the cannabis, whether we would support or not, and that's what's going on the agenda here tonight, so that's my two cents.
Anybody further?
Well, Mayor McDonald, I'd like to say the site is one thing, the residents' concerns is another. Your property values, if you go to put a house up for sale, it may affect whether you're going to get the price you want or whether you're gonna move your home or not. And a lot of you know, and this is from my view, I've been a teacher for 29 years. I've taught health for 29 years. I'm not a fan of alcohol, tobacco, drugs, video lotto terminals. I've seen too many young people that are not here anymore. I've seen a lot of young people over the years. There's thousands and thousands I've taught. And when you run into people that know these people, you say, what are they doing now? Nothing. Their life is just, it's absolutely nothing. Now, that's not for everybody. But the point is, in the curriculum that we teach for Newfoundland Labrador Eastern School, we always refer to it as a gateway drug, how you got started off. And the large number of young people that I've known over the years, and you know, I've been frank with them, they've been frank with me. Why are you in this situation? How did you get started? The answer always goes back to cannabis. So for me, I think for me to walk in, to go to class, and you know, past few weeks since school started, I've been talking about this, I've been showing videos, kids have been asking me questions, and what I've been talking about is how cannabis affects people's lives. Now, maybe not everybody. I'm not stereotyping. I'm not fell swooping anybody. But in my experience over the years, you know, it has affected people in a negative way. And, you know, whether the federal government legalizes cannabis or VLTs or anything else, it still doesn't make it right when people get it into their hands and they abuse it as well. That's my take on this one. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Just well. I did have a lot of concerns over location and the actual sell of cannabis. It can be an addiction, just like alcohol or anything else. There's all kinds of different addictions out there. And I really struggled with that because I know people with addictions. But when it comes down to selling a legalized product, I guess it's the same as liquor. You can't deny the sale of it if it is a legalized product to sell. The location, I'm sure that can be worked on. And I'm worried about concern too of our citizens to make sure. So if they got concerns, I'm sure we'll listen to them and everybody will work together to try to make this, you know, go forward. Because it is going to go forward, I'm assuming, in a way that can be good for all. Because, you know, I don't want to see one have a concern over pedestrian safety, over kids, over location, over parking, over whatever your concern is. So that's my take on it.
Thank you. I guess you're the only other one left. You want to? You had your say.
You don't want to speak?
No, yes.
I'll speak to close.
No, I will. You go ahead.
When I speak, because I made the motion.
You ended.
Close this motion. So, go ahead.
No, I just want to reiterate, I guess, what just about everybody has said, and that is the location. I don't agree with the location. Everything else has fell in the hands of us here. As far as we know, that permits have been issued for different things by us, and we're waiting for approval from Service NL. But he's got all his permits and his ducks in the row, and I guess we'll just have to wait and see. It's up to Service NL, NLC and Cannabis Newfoundland now to really finalize his application for cannabis, for the sale of cannabis. My only other concern is the roadway. And we've put a lot of thought into this, and the road that's there now that goes off Drover Heights is going to have to be moved clear of the intersection. Am I right? Is that
he has conditions he has for the driveway access that he has to meet in order to
36 meters from the center of
Portsmouth Cove
Road.
Yeah, okay.
And there'll be no left turning coming out of the driveway, and there'll be no parking signs located on the sides of the road.
Okay.
All as part of his conditions.
Okay. That is a concern of mine, is the entrance, but we'll have to see when we vote on this tonight. So it's a big decision to make. Believe me, we've put a lot of thought into it. We met just an hour before our meeting tonight. We had a meeting of council to see if there was anything else that we needed to do or decide. There's nothing else that we have information coming to us to give us any more reason to say yay or nay. So I'm going to ask the question. Are we ready for the question?
Nope. I'll close that debate with my comments.
Okay.
Because I made the motion. There's a whole bunch of things that goes through everybody's mind when something like this comes to the public forum. Personal feelings, feelings of morality, and what we grew up listening to. For some of us that are old enough, I remember the old psychedelic movies that we were shown in junior high school about the effects of marijuana and all that kind of stuff. But we evolved. Medical studies show different things, governments decide different things. And right now, it's a very short period of time and it'll be legal to sell cannabis in Canada. The number of conditions that were put forward right from the starting process here, because the first process was this council had to decide if we were going to approve in principle the application for business down there. Even though the application came in as a specialty store the second time around, it came in as a cannabis store the first time around, and we rejected because at the time it wasn't legal. And again, knowing where it was located, this council passed it unanimously. Now the onus is on the proponent. Every condition that was made to this point or put in front of him to this point, he complied with. Whether he complies with it in time to open up on whatever day is opened up, that's immaterial to this council. What we do is we see our regulations, make sure our regulations are met, and then we decide how to move forward on it. The biggest pressures wasn't getting to this point for the proponent, in my opinion, because I've operated a business for almost 30 years that was licensed by the NLC, is what comes afterwards. We can speculate about the dangers of traffic, the dangers of pedestrian walking, security. We can speculate beforehand. But once this business is up and running, he will have a whole bunch of eyes on him, including the towns, to make sure that he complies with everything. If there is a traffic problem, then we got to deal with it. If there is a pedestrian problem, then we got to make sure we deal with it. When something is legal, whether it's a jewelry store, a liquor store, a pharmaceutical store, or a cannabis, when it's legal and everything is done and complied with, then we vote our conscience. We can't vote on what we were taught in junior high school 40 years ago. And with that, I'll close the debate.
But we're teaching that in 2018 today, not 40 years ago. And there's more scientific facts than ever before.
Both favors, in both directions.
Absolutely.
It's controversial on both sides, which is why it's controversial.
Legal.
Okay, ready for the question? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Contrivided? It's carried.
I'll make note of who the opponent.
Councillor Bartlett, Councillor Hanlon.
Way yes, to go, Councillor. Just let an old fucking donkey roll up a pot sore on our road. Way to go!
Number 8 to 23 and other items that were discussed at the committee's meeting. Detailed information regarding these items can be found in Appendix A of the table report. Item number 24, permits issued. There were 15 permits issued from September 7th to September 20th, 2018, as per Appendix A of the table report. And Your Worship, that ends my report.
Thank you very much. Councillor Stewart Sharp, Recreation.
The Recreation Community Service Committee meeting met Monday, September 24th. Present, Councillor Hanlon, myself, Stuart Sharp, Councillor Neary, Director Don Sharp. Number one, sports coordinator. Committee discussed the information that was provided by the Recreation Director to Council on Tuesday, September 18th regarding the sports coordinator position. The committee members felt that it would be valuable to assess the position once the full calendar year has been completed and all invoices have been processed. The position would be discussed in department budget consultations. The Recreation Committee would like to put forward the following recommendation, motion. Committee recommends that the town extend the sports coordinator position for 4 months to allow for a full year evaluation and for further discussion during the budget consultations. So moved.
Second. Seconded by Councillor Bartlett. Any discussion? All in favor?
No, I'm ready to discuss. I'm going to speak against this motion. We have a hiring freeze on. Sports coordinator for the next 4 months will put us outside of budget, what we had budgeted for this year. We know that going into next year, our property assessments are going to be down, and therefore our revenues coming to the town are going to be down. And also, if you notice, the City of St. John's is charging every citizen in town $40 more, or proposing to charge everybody in St. John's $40 more for their water. Can you only imagine how much we're going to get charged for the water that we buy off them? I think that this is not something that we need to do at this point, and for that reason, I'll be voting against the motion.
Mayor McDonald, I have a question because I need clarification. My understanding was that initially, 12 months ago, our hiring freeze was put in place for 6 months' time, and then there was discussion after the fact about what to do as we continued. Can somebody please refresh me as to what that was afterwards, because I'm feeling like the hiring freeze was not still in place as of today, but.
There was no motion to lift the hiring freeze.
No. Go ahead, Vima.
I thought there was a time frame on the hiring freeze, and it didn't, and it was to be reviewed at a certain time period.
There was no review done.
It was discussed.
Not in this chamber, and if it was, I'd like to see the minutes of the meeting.
The motion that was put forth last year, I can't remember when we put the freeze on. I don't know if it stayed a timeline, like
six
for six months or one year.
Six months.
We did not vote to extend it, as far as I can remember.
Yeah, that's true.
At the time, it was hiring freeze of hiring more staff. This particular employee was currently hired at that, was an employee at the time. This is only the extension of a 1-year contract that's up now, and it's for an extension of 4 months, just so that we're entering into budget time and see. It is understandable. Your opinion is your opinion, Councillor Harding, but right now, this particular position, and maybe all the positions within the town are going to be under review in this budget if the money crunch is what you say it's going to be, and I don't expect any different. There's going to be lots of review in the coming months. We did have revenue generated, whatever the dollar amount was, that hasn't been exactly determined yet, that can actually pay for this particular position for the next 4 months. So for that particular reason, I will be voting for this particular motion.
Okay, I have one more thing, Mayor, just in response to that, because if that's the way, that's why I was asking the question. If that's how it works out, because I was not sure, it's about extensions. We have, in the last 12 months, extended other contracts already beyond the time that was given, because I know that we ourselves did it in economic development with our communications coordinator position. So that was extended beyond when it had ended, however many months ago.
Yeah, I think that was a little different, though, because our recreation coordinator resigned and we rehired. Is that not?
No.
Communications.
That the one you're talking about?
There was a backfill there as a result of the resignation, but then after the backfill, the contract had come to an end.
Those both were contracted positions?
Yes.
That got extended?
Yes.
They were contracted.
No different than this one, really.
I need clarification on that, because that's not how I understand it. Tony, do you have anything on the communications extensions?
It is still on contract and still up for review as well, no different than the sports coordinator position was.
Thank you.
But we did extend it, though, Tony.
We did extend it.
We did, yes.
You reviewed it and you extended. Okay.
Okay. Anybody further? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Undermined?
Nay.
Carried. Councillor Harding, vote against.
Number two, programs and special events. The recreation director provided the committee a list of remaining programs and special events for 2018. Please see the attached list of these items and their dates. Number three, Lifestyle Center. The recreation director gave an update on the Lifestyle Center business case analysis. Gardner Pinfall received the recommended changes that the recreation director and Vigilant suggested. These changes will be made, and the first draft of the report will be tabled at the next recreation committee meeting. Number four, community grants. The recreation committee reviewed the community grant applications and would like to make the following recommendations. Motion: the committee recommends that the town donate $250 to the Portugal Cove St. Philip's men's pirate softball team to assist with the registration for the USSA Worlds qualifier. So moved.
Second.
Seconded by Councillor Neary. Any questions? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Undermined? Carried.
Motion: the committee recommends that the town donate $200 to the Felians under 15 soccer team to assist with their travels to the Nationals in Laval, Quebec, October 3rd to the 8th. So moved.
Seconded by Councillor Bartlett. Any questions? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 I just like
carried.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I just like to make note, the members of the team include Edmund Oates, Jonathan Furlong, Taj
Exley,
Brandon Tope, and Daniel Hanlon. Motion: the committee recommends that the town donate $200 to the Portugal Cove St. Philip's Mixed Softball League to assist with the replacement cost of the dart boards in the recreation center. So moved. And that's not supposed to be a mixed softball, sorry, that's the mixed dart league.
Typo.
We have a seconder by Councillor Neary. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Undermined? Carried.
Motion, committee recommends that the town donate $100 to Noah Whittle to assist with his travels to the British Commonwealth Karate Champions in Durban, South Africa from November 29th to December 2nd. So moved.
Seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary? Carried.
So ends my report, Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Bartlett, Public Works.
Thank you, Your Worship. Public Works Committee, we met on Wednesday, September 26th. In attendance was myself as Councillor, Deputy Mayor Lahan, Councillor Harding, Charlie Hamlin, Director of Public Works, Linda Newhook, Public Works Coordinator. Also present was Jeff Lawler, who's Director of Economic Development, Marketing, and Communications. Item number one, traffic calming. 1.1, discussions were held with the Director of Economic Development and the Public Works Committee in respect to the traffic calming assessments last year for Country Gardens, Oliver's Pond Road, and Western Gully Road, and the subsequent changes to the town's speed limit policy. Committee agreed the next steps in this process would be to reassess traffic calming in these areas based on the new speed limit policy, as per the policy changes adopted by Motion 2018-249 on July 24th, 2018. Then move forward with the implementation of the 40 kilometers per hour speed limits throughout the town. Communication will be provided to the neighborhoods as these changes are implemented. Item number two, easements, Ball to Place. Public Works is in the process of having surveys completed for the installation of stormwater management infrastructure. Item number three, small scale treatment plants. Treatment plants as requested by the Planning and Development Department. In summary, Public Works and the Town Manager Engineer recommend that developer implementation of small-scale treatment plants in semi-serviced areas with water shall be allowed or provided the approval process and conditions as outlined in the full report as they are applied. Item number four was a water interruption, September 25th. Committee was notified that there was a minor water interruption in the areas of Anglican Cemetery Road, Blast Hole Pond Road, Churchill's Road, Legion Road, and some parts of Portugal Cove Road. Operators were dispatched, assessed the issues, and resolved the matter expediently. On the same day, calls were received at Public Works with respect to water escaping on Meadow Heights. Issues were quickly repaired, resolving the issue. Item number five is operational updates. Culverts. An assessment of the culverts at the lower end of School Road following a heavy rainstorm resulted in immediate necessary replacements as well as a culvert on Farm Road. The required permits for work on Mercer's Road culvert have not been received yet from Environment. Guardrails, replacement and repairs are ongoing. 5.3 Meadow Heights pedestrian walkway line painting has been completed and this was not part of the scheduled work. Item 5.4, sign replacements. Some traffic signs throughout the town which were damaged or dilapidated are being replaced. Item 5.5, remaining 2018 tenders are underway. Other business, 6.1, Portugal Cove Road pedestrian walkway. A request has been put forward to EXP regarding the durability of the green paint which was installed as part of a pilot project for the pedestrian walkway on Portugal Cove Road. Public Works is waiting on a response. Item 6.2, pedestrian activated crosswalks. Public Works received quotes for the supply of pedestrian activated crosswalks. Correspondence will be sent to the Department of Transportation and Works requesting their approval for the town to install these safety measures on Thorburn Road in the area of Brookside Intermediate School. Motion reads as follows. Committee recommends the purchase of two pedestrian activated crosswalks at a cost of $9,350 each plus HST be approved. So moved.
Seconded by Councillor Neary. Any discussion? Yes.
Go ahead.
When we say two crosswalk signs, we mean one for each side of the road. We're not putting in two particular crosswalks,
correct?
Right?
Yes.
Okay. That, I just want
to clarify,
right,
thank
clarify
you.
That. Right?
Yes.
Right. Okay. The device will be on either side of the road to press the button, activate the lights, right?
Yes. Like it would be on Western Road outside the Aqua Arena.
Same was true of most communities in CVS Paradise, Monroe.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. Anybody further? No? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Contrary? Carried.
And there ends the report, Your Worship.
Thank you very much. Councillor Neary, Economic Development, Marketing, Communications, and Tourism.
Thank you, Your Worship. The committee met on Monday, September the 24th, and present was myself as chair, Councillor Stuart Sharp, Councillor Bartlett, and Mayor McDonald for items 1 to 6, 8, and 9. Also present was Director Jeff Lawler. Number one, budget 2019. A proposed schedule and strategy was shared with the committee. It includes three public meetings, a forum for community groups to make presentations, social media strategy, and a dedicated page on our website, including a form for residents to submit their thoughts. The draft budget is planned to be completed in mid-November, with a summary flyer to be circulated to all residents prior to the final public meeting. Number two, Small Business Week. The town is working with the Chamber of Commerce to celebrate Small Business Week this year. There will be a special event at the Grounds Cafe on Wednesday, October 17th at 7 p.m. with a number of special guests to address members of the Chamber. Final plans are still being finalized. Number three, the tourism plan. The Director of Economic Development is supporting the Chamber of Commerce in the application process for funding through the Community Capacity Building Program with the Department of Tourism, Culture, Industry, and Innovation. The department will then facilitate a 1.5-day session with the business community. Council advisory groups and stakeholders to develop a tourism plan for Portal Cove St. Phillips. With the business community and council advisory groups, stakeholders to continue to develop this tourism plan for Portal Cove St. Phillips. Thank you. Number four, regional signage, letter of support. Committee discussed the regional signage project and the request for a letter of support by the City of St. John's. The town of Portal Cove St. Phillips identified in the proposal as the pilot project community to have a set of regional signs designed, constructed, and installed at a cost of $5,000. Our municipal neighbors have been signing on to show their commitment and contribute towards the design of the regional template that will allow for municipal customization. Our general municipal way finding signs in our community are being done separately to this project. Motion as follows. Committee recommends the town provide a letter of support to the City of St. John's for the regional signage plan with a commitment of $5,000. So moved.
Seconded by Councillor Bartlett. Any question or discussion?
I'd like to know how much we've already got spent over the last number of years on signs that never got put up.
We budgeted this in the past 3 years, I'm sure, but we haven't spent money on it.
So there's no money spent?
Not yet.
Perfect.
Not in relation to the big entrance signs and all those lines.
Perfect.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Contrary? Carried.
Number five, Stewardship Association of Municipalities meeting. Our Heritage and Environment Coordinator attended the fall meeting of the Stewardship Association on September 20th and 21st in Labrador City. The association is looking for municipalities to hold future meetings. This will be considered as a part of the budget considerations for 2019. Number six, the Wooden Boat Museum Conference. The Director of Economic Development will be presenting at the conference in Twillingate on Saturday, September 29th. Number seven, Eastern Health Clinic. A public meeting has been planned with MHA Brazil for Tuesday, September 25th to discuss the issue with residents, community groups, and stakeholders at the town hall, and that did take place. Number eight, the bus tour. The proposed routes and topics were discussed with the committee. A date is yet to be finalized, but we are close with that. Number nine, with Heritage, digital storytelling project. The Heritage Committee and Family History Club will be partnering with Dale Jarvis and the Heritage Foundation to do a pilot project on digital storytelling in Portal Cove St. Phillips. The end product will be a series of short videos designed as narrated slideshows to tell stories of people and places in the community. The first workshop will take place on October 16th. Red Earth TV, we have been supporting a television production company looking to do a show on the history of the giant squid in Portal Cove St. Phillips. And so ends my report, Your Worship.
Thank you very much. Councillor Hanlon. Protective Services.
Thank you, Your Worship.
Protective Services Committee met on Wednesday, September 22nd, or September 26th, sorry. In attendance was myself as chair, Councilor Bartlett, Councilor Neri, Mayor McDonald. Also present was Fred Hallett, one of our co-chiefs, and Heather Coughlin, our employee and public relations administrator. Item number one, Commissioners Municipal Enforcement. On September 21st, the Municipal Enforcement Officer joined Sergeant Kevin Foley of the RNC to do a Facebook Live presentation on the Commissioners' role in the community and at what point residents should call the RNC. The discussion also covered the best way to contact the MEO, including after-hours contact information. Call 895-8000 anytime, even when the office is closed. An after-hours call center will ensure the contact is made with the Municipal Enforcement Officer. Number two, commissioners have been once again participating in school safety zone patrols. The MEO suggests this would be an ideal topic for the next social media presentation with the RNC, as many high-speed vehicles are still being witnessed in school zones, including parents dropping out their kids and then racing out of the area. MEO contacted the RNC Traffic Services on this, and as a result, RNC are increasing patrols in these areas, especially during peak school traffic times, morning drop-off and afternoon pickup. Item number three. On three separate occasions, the MEO has contacted the RNC regarding suspected impaired drivers, the suspicion of impairment due to marijuana usage. These vehicles were all noted within the Nerys Pond Road and the Rainbow Gully parking lot area. And from the Municipal Affair, from the Commissioner's part, we're still waiting on Minister's approval for our ticketing ability. Okay, fire and emergency services updates. Since our last meeting, we had a total of 9 responses. 1 residential alarm, 1 road traffic accident, 1 pole fire, a vehicle fire, a wire down, 1 extra service call, 2 medical calls, and 1 commercial alarm. Item number 2, training event, September 17th, fire extinguisher training and equipment checks. Number 3, other activities. The Fire Department Annual Firefighters Ball was held on September 22nd at the Royal Canadian Legion, Branch 10. Another great event with a fantastic turnout. Fire Department Monthly General Meeting was held on September 20th after 2 months of downtime for the summer months. The general meetings will continue each month throughout the winter to the end of June. Excuse me. Planning for Fire Prevention Week is ongoing. 2018 Fire Prevention Week is October 7th to the 13th. With the theme this year, look, listen, learn, be aware, fire can happen anywhere. The Chiefs anticipate having proclamation as they did tonight, and several members of the department will be in attendance for the meeting as we saw, and the department is participating in evacuation drills with the schools as well as events for staff. The Chiefs are continuing to work on the special projects and OHS advisor on evacuation plans and secure building lockdown procedures for the town offices and the depot. And we reviewed the dashboard of incidents from to date since January. And that ends my report.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor Laham with Administration and Finance Committee.
Thank you, Your Worship. Administration and Finance Committee met September 26, 2018, with myself as chair, Councillor Harding, Councilman Stuart Sharp. Also present was Mayor McDonald, Chris Milley, Town Manager, Tony Pollard, Director of Financial Operations, and Claudia Murray, Deputy Town Clerk. Item number one, procurement. The Chamber of Commerce attended the committee meeting from 5 to 5:30 to discuss the new Procurement Act. They offered their services on developing process and procedures for acceptable procurement standards. They stressed that the more bids the town can get for a service, the better. Staff indicated that specification writing and the grouping of products are areas that the town can review with an eye to process improvement. Item number two, council payment. Committee recommends that council approve payment of regular accounts in the amount of $11,905.86 and capital accounts in the amount of $48,209.92. for a total of $60,115.78. So moved.
Seconded by Councillor Stuart Sharp. Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Undermined? Carried.
Item number three, correspondence policy. In an effort to be open and transparent to the residents about the issues before council and to ensure correspondence is responded to, the committee has reviewed the correspondence policy and is putting forward our recommendations. The committee evaluated the process for correspondence that is marked private and would like to emphasize our position. Correspondence received that is needed by a committee to make a recommendation or needed by the whole council for decision or action will be managed in accordance with the Access to Information and Protection of Privacy Act 2015. Whether or not correspondence is marked confidential, private, secret, etc., is a consideration but not the determining factor in deciding whether correspondence is in fact confidential under ATIPA 2015. Please note that all correspondence under the custody and control of the town is subject to release under the ATIPA legislation. Item 4, Rules of Procedure. The committee continues to review sections of the town's rules of procedure governing meetings, and recommendations are being compiled for council review. Staff are evaluating if other municipalities simply use Robert's Rules of Order or have summarized rules as PCSP does. Item 5, Correspondence. Municipal Red Tape Challenge. This item is for information only. And item 5.2, School Bus Courtesy Seating. Town considered the request and is considering possibilities. Item 6, Tax Structure. Committee reviewed the 2019 assessments that were received. The town's overall assessed value was down by $25 million. Carry forward items. The town sent questionnaires to the residents of Tote Road and sounding cul-de-sacs pertaining to surrounding cul-de-sacs, I should say, I'm assuming, pertaining to the Tote Road upgrading project, asking for feedback on which services are desired. We have received responses from 45% of the homes. Responses will be reported on the website. Further discussion will take place at the next committee meeting. I guess so. So this is under item 3?
Item 3.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the correspondence policy.
As presented.
As presented on item
3. Second the motion? Councillor Hanlon. That was under correspondence policy number 3 that you read.
Yes.
The any discussion?
Motion was omitted.
I just want to make sure that everybody saw the correspondence policy. That's my point.
Yes, it was emailed out and it's on everyone's
list. I understand it's the link here. So the
yeah, Councillor Neary was asking.
It's here too. I have a copy. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Abstained? Carried.
Was that a unanimous vote?
Yeah, I think yes. It was unanimous.
Okay.
So ends my report, Your Worship.
Thank you very much. And I'd like to add that in 5.5.2, school bus courtesy seating. I did get an email. We did work on that and with MHA Brazel, and things have been rectified with regard to Beachy Cove School. We still have Brookside to take care of, which I didn't know at the time that was a problem. It was just told to me it was Beachy Cove School. So now we have the email that it's Brookside as well. Mm-hmm. So we will be taking care of that as well, hopefully taking care of it.
In item 664, rules of procedure, staff are evaluating if other municipalities simply use Robert's Rules of Order or have summarized rules as PCSP does. I think that should be worded differently. We didn't recommend as a committee that we would use Robert's Rules of Order because they're so large. What we would reference Robert's Rules of Orders in conjunction with what we have in our orders, just those specific items of Robert's Rules of Orders.
Okay, thank you. And is there anything, any new business? Any further? Anybody else with any new business? Notice the motions? Okay, we have a move to adjourn.
So moved.
Seconded by Councilor Bartlett, seconded by Councilor Neary.
Johnny's got a new picture.
Okay, I just want to say one thing. I know we're adjourned, but I meant to do it in the meeting. I just want to say again that we have Joanne Power, who has left to go to, I think she might be in Quebec right now in training, but she's going to Australia to represent Canada in the Invictus Games. And we're very proud that she is from the town of Portugal Cove St. Phillips. And she is carrying the Portugal Cove St. Phillips flag. So I just want to mention that again. Thank you very much. We're going to open it now once we close off this.
Thank you, folks.